always, it's a privilege to speak with Senator Dick Durbin. Good morning, Senator. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I was until I got up this morning and I heard about Iran shooting down a U.S. drone, and then I wasn't so good. What was your reaction?
Well, I'm not surprised. Let me tell you, the intensity of this relationship just continues to grow. And they're bad actors in many respects. There's no question about it. But we've got to get down to fundamentals here. I think we made a mistake. The president made a mistake in walking away from this agreement with international inspectors to stop Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. There's just no reason for that to have occurred other than to provoke them. Then we declared that their Revolutionary Guard was a terrorist force. It was kind of into your face. And they responded with provocative things they did in person and through others. Let me just get to the bottom line here. America does not need a third war in the Middle East. The notion that we would somehow invade Iran or put more forces and troops in the face of Iran at this point is to invite involvement in a war that may never end. We're involved in two wars now in Iraq and Afghanistan that have gone on longer than any wars in American history. There comes a point when American military, number one, and American taxpayers are being pushed too far and too fast.
But I wonder how you feel about this when you say, well, America and Iran are on a confrontational basis, but the attack on the oil tankers last week were two foreign countries, one Japan, I think the other Norwegian. Or
and the reason they've done that is because we have basically staked out territory that says that anybody who interrupts the free flow of oil through that part of the world is going to have to answer to the United States. So they can strike out at the tankers of other countries and really just kind of get in our face constantly as to whether or not we're going to do anything. And that we've got to be careful on this kind of provocation, because what's at stake here are some pretty serious consequences. We have given dearly in terms of American lives and, of course, American treasure in both Iraq and Afghanistan, and there's no end in sight in either country.
You've been back in the States, back in the Illinois. You were touring some of the flooding. We're seeing, of course, the river levels drop, but you go to the Ohio River. Farmers are moving stuff out. It was too late. They planted in the bottoms. The floodwaters are coming up. This is going to have a devastating effect overall on agriculture in Illinois. But you've been touring the flooding and seeing what we can do about getting some financial assistance.
Well, let me tell you what's different about this situation. And I've been through a lot of flooding as a congressman, senator. I've filled a lot of sandbags and volunteered, as many people do in the community. And this is different. They're more frequent. The floods are more frequent. And this one in particular has longer duration than any flood we've seen since 1927. And so you've got to ask a question. Is something changing in our weather patterns? My wife tells me this morning they're just drenched in rain in central Illinois. Something is happening here that's calling on us to be serious about two things. First, our ability to fight the floodwaters with good, strong levees. And second, to open up the serious conversation about whether we're dealing with a change in weather, in extreme weather, and ought to be doing something about it.
You know, one of the issues that, you know, we spend so much time in national news about the dysfunction and the fighting and the backbiting in Washington, D.C., but the fact is there are attempts to do very practical things. Matter of fact, I was speaking with Congressman Mike Bost a short bit about this yesterday morning, and one of the items you have taken up, and that's rural broadband, something that could help a lot of businesses in southern Illinois.
Tom, listen, I had a meeting yesterday. The Illinois Electric Co-ops, a great organization, brings out high school kids from our state, all over downstate, 50 or 60 of them. I met with them yesterday, and I answered their questions, and I said to them, now I've got a question for you. How many of you have run into problems with access to rural broadband, ability to use your computer at home to do homework or research or some basic business? Hands went up all over the place. They had stories to tell me about how tough it is in downstate Illinois, in southern Illinois in particular, to deal with access to broadband. So here's what we've done, and it's something that I guess is newsworthy. I hope it is. We had the entire Illinois congressional delegation, Democrats and Republicans, write to the Federal Communication Commission saying, give us more accurate maps that show broadband service. We think what's being published now is inaccurate. We've got too many high school kids that are sitting in the parking lots of libraries in small towns because they can use their Wi-Fi in the parking lot at night to do their homework. Let's get real about this. If we want to prepare for the 21st century, to give our kids a good education, telemedicine, attract business. We need good broadband.
Another issue you've been working on is healthcare costs, medicine, prescription drugs in particular. Now, it's interesting because I'm watching some survey information and people, you know, we have these big headline items that we're constantly seeing, but when you survey people, healthcare costs comes up in one of their top three issues. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. I'm meeting people, Senator, that are cutting their insulin doses by 2/3 and 1/2. They have the health problems that come along with it because they simply can't get insulin. And now we've got people driving Canadian caravans into Canada to get insulin.
It's a national scandal when it comes to insulin. Discovered almost 100 years ago, the Canadians who discovered it turned it over, the patent rights, for a dollar and said no one should get rich on this life or death drug. Now look where we are today. Eli Lilly of Indianapolis makes a drug called Humalog. It's an insulin product. In 1999, they sold it for $29. Now they're selling it for $275. Don't tell me that they've had to put more money into research or cost. They're just fleecing the consumers. Canada, same drug, same company, $39. $39 in Canada, $275 in the United States. The difference? The Canadian government is taking Eli Lilly on. They're not letting them fleece customers. And you are right. It's a life or death decision when someone with diabetes decides to ration the insulin they need.
By the way, I was doing some research on the senator, and when I was looking into who donates to his campaign after you just heard his rhetoric on prescription drug companies, you'll be surprised to find that they do not donate much money to the senator. I looked at some of your colleagues.
Whether they give or don't, and I'm sure they don't, it isn't going to change what I'm going to say.
Some of your colleagues.
Independent when it comes to campaign contributions, because so many of us have to raise so darn much money from people. If you start taking a look at the list of your contributors and deciding where you're going to stand on issues, you're going to get in trouble doing a good job.
I looked at some of your colleagues, and they can't say that. 320,000, 280,000, I saw a lot of those. I'm running out of time, and I don't want to. Federal. A capital bill, you know, infrastructure bill, talked about $2 trillion in D.C. And when I was speaking with Congressman Mike Bost, I don't know that I was surprised. We talked about how to pay for it, and he says the talk in Washington, D.C. is a 25-cent gas tax. But, Senator, Illinoisans just are about to see July 1, a very substantial state tax.
That's right. And, you know, let's be honest about it. This hits people in lower and middle income categories the hardest. You know, we see gas prices vary 10, 15, 20 cents, 50 cents a dollar. But when they go up regularly with these tax increases, it's going to hit people hardest who are driving those pickups back and forth to work and, you know, really don't have, they're living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a cushion to fall back on. So when we talk about a federal bill, I don't know of any other source. I have to agree with Congressman Bost. There is no other source we can think of that could bring us to a $2 trillion national investment level. What I'd like to see is some sort of relief for middle-income families when it comes to taxes so that we can say to them, we're at least giving you a break when it comes to paying these higher gas taxes. I know people are skeptical. I'll never see that tax break. But we've got to make it real. And I'm willing to work with Congressman Bost and others to do it on a bipartisan basis.
All right, this morning's controversy, if you've got time for one more question, Senator.
Sure.
This morning's controversy involving Senator Joe Biden saying, I know people, I've worked with people who are racist, had racist policies, but we got work together anyway. There's a lot of heat coming on this. Then the Juneteenth reparations hearings on Capitol Hill, one of our listeners just texted, what does Senator Dick Durbin think about reparations for slavery?
Well, let me tell you first about Joe Biden. Joe Biden came to the United States Senate, one of the youngest senators ever elected, on a civil rights platform. He believed in civil rights, and he said as much to the older Southern Democrats who ran the Senate in those days. I know this for a fact. I've talked to Joe about it personally many times. So there should be no question about his commitment to opportunity, equality, and civil rights. What he said is hard to argue with if you work in the Senate or the House, and that is that sometimes you're sitting across the table from somebody that you couldn't disagree with more on certain issues. But at that moment, you've got a chance to work with them and get a compromise on some unrelated issue and make some progress. The people I run into as I go around the state say, for goodness sake, Senator, stop the the political fighting and do something. Find some way to compromise. I think that's what Joe Biden was saying. Not to give up on your principles and values, but find a way to compromise. Now, I'm not ducking your question on reparations. I have some misgivings about that and how it would be administered. I don't argue with the premise. Slavery was one of the worst things that ever happened to America, creating racism, which we're still dealing with today. But our response to it should be in a responsible way so that African Americans have greater opportunity to emerge from lower income situations, less education, and really have a chance to be more productive and have better lives in our country.
Can't help but think, Senator, after listening to hear about Senator Dick Durbin, we remember the old adage, politics makes strange bedfellows.
It does. And, you know, there comes a time when you don't have to give away your soul to get an agreement. I've managed to do a few things politically, and most of the time my partners are folks that I disagree with vehemently on some other issue. But, you know, at that moment, on that day, with this issue, we had a chance to get something done, and we should seize it.